Hi, my name's Addison Varro, and I'm at Dartmouth College in Hanover, New Hampshire. The date is October 26, 2023, and I am with Morris Rocky Whitaker, who is also in Dartmouth at Dartmouth College in Hanover, New Hampshire. And this is an interview for the Dartmouth Black Lives Project. So thank you for meeting with me today.
Oh yeah, my pleasure. Absolutely.
And I guess I kind of would like to just move through this sort of chronologically.
Okay.
Obviously the conversation can go where it wants to go, but I have sort of an outline of questions I'd like to follow. And the first one is, where and when were you born?
I was born in Portsmouth, Virginia, June 24th, 1953. Sounds like eons ago.
And you moved to New Jersey?
Yeah, we moved during the Great Migration when, a lot of African Americans got out of the South and moved north for better opportunities around jobs. So I probably was about maybe three when we left. Mom, dad, my older brother, myself, we left Virginia when I was three and moved to Paterson, New Jersey, which is basically where I grew up, all through elementary school and high school.
So when you think of home, it's New Jersey.
Yeah, mostly, absolutely. Those were my formative years and where I met most of my high school and developed my early friendships through middle school and high school and elementary school.
Did you ever make trips back to Virginia? Do you have
Yeah,
kids?
we used to go all the time because most of my family was still there when we left. All my aunts, uncles, grandparents. So I can remember as soon as school was over in this beginning of the summer, from the time I was probably 9 or 10, my dad would pack us in the car. We'd drive to Virginia. I swear it was like 2 days after school was out. We'd
Oh
drive to Virginia. He'd drop us off. We'd hang out with both set of grandparents, uncles, aunts, cousins, all of that. And I swear it was like 2 days before school start, they'd come and get us. And we'd drive back to New Jersey. 2 days later, we were back in school. So we spent the summers there for many years.
So where
So it was
would
a
you,
good thing.
yeah, would you stay with your grandparents when you went for the
Oh
summer?
yeah. Oh yeah, I'd stay with my mom's people who lived at that time out by Norfolk Airport. But at that time, it was nothing out there. A bunch of fields. The next closest house was probably a quarter of a mile away. It was just my brothers and I and my mom's people. In that house, it was my great grandmother, my grandmother, my aunt, my grandmother's sister, and my aunt's husband, who basically really was my grandfather. He acted as my grandfather. So in that house out in the middle of nowhere in Norfolk, Virginia, they raised chickens, they raised cucumbers and lettuce and watermelons and cantaloupes and string beans. So I got a different kind of, feel and vibe when we went down south. It was not like being in the city at all. So we sort of grew up, every summer with those experiences. My dad's people lived across the water in another city called Portsmouth. So they were separated by a river. And I think it's the Chesapeake River. Don't quote me on that. But mom's people lived on the Norfolk side. My dad's people lived on the Portsmouth side. So when we went to see them, it was a whole different thing because my grandmother lived on a block where it was a whole lot of people, a lot of different kids. So we got to hang out with the kids on the block. My grandmother and her husband were entrepreneurs, so they had a store. They owned a gas station. So we worked during the summer when we went to see them, and they had a little country store out in Suffolk, Virginia, way out in the sticks somewhere with a dirt floor in the store. So we worked out there, and then they had another business. They had a gas station, and Esso Gas that turned to Exxon later on. But South Street Esso. How do I remember the name of that place? It was South Street Esso. And they had that business for a long time. And so we worked at the gas station as well. So it was cool. I got like sort of both worlds. And my dad's dad and his people lived around the corner from his mom because they weren't married at the time. And so we got a chance to go hang out with my grandfather as well. So it was a pretty cool experience growing up. We did that probably till we were about 13, 14 when we could start getting jobs on our own.
So how many aunts and uncles and like cousins would you have? Would you be returning to too many?
On my mom's side, she didn't have a big family. She was the only child. So we had maybe three cousins that we sort of hung out with, my cousin Denise. And on my mom's side, we had a couple of cousins, but they were in New York. So Wayne didn't get to see them that often. So when we went to Virginia, it was basically my cousin Denise, who was the tattletale, told on us all the time. The boys are throwing rocks at the cats. They're picking up the watermelons. So she was like, all right. But on my dad's side, I had goo gobs of cousins because his dad had Uncle Sammy, Uncle Wayman, Uncle Arthur, and they all had like three and four kids. So we used to love to go over to my Uncle Arthur's house. He was the baseball guy, played in the Negro League, as a matter of fact. And when we would go to his house, he had three boys, three girls. They had a little lot right outside their house, so we would play baseball over in the lot. So that was the hangout spot. So can we go to Uncle Arthur's house? You know, because we knew that we could spend the night, hang out with Randy and Sporty and my cousins, and just be boys.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool.
That's so sweet. I actually, my dad, well, it was my great grandfather's and then my grandfather's, and it's my father's now, owns a farm in Canada where I'm from. And during the summers, we would always go back, and that's where all my cousins were. So I feel like I understand a bit of that,
Yeah,
like,
man.
kind of escape real world for a bit, and you just get to run around and like chase dogs and ride dirt bikes, and it's different.
Do stuff we can never do in the city.
It's a good place, I feel. Like, look, sometimes I didn't always want to go, but looking back, I'm very grateful
Right.
to
It was
have
a
been a
good
kid
thing.
with a big field and like no one watching me and just getting
Yep.
to explore like that.
Yeah. And I look back at it too. It was really, really a good thing because it grounded me with my family that I wouldn't have known if I hadn't kept going back for those summers. So I got to meet, my great grandmother. My great grandmother on my father's side lived in like this little row house, what they call shotgun houses. She had a pot belly stove that heated the house, coal burning stove. She had a wood burning stove where she cooked on, and an outhouse in the back. She had no running water. She had a pump that we used to go out in the backyard and pump the water in a pail and bring it in the house. So I would have never experienced any of those things, if my dad hadn't said, no, you're going to the South and you're going to hang out with your family.
I guess, like, on that topic, are there any, do you feel like lessons or specific memories that stick out to you from that point in time that you feel like you've been able to like return back to like later down the road?
Yeah. For my mom's people, they were grounded really well in the Baptist church. So
Wait, I'm
needless to
sorry.
say,
Can you repeat that? The connection was.
I was gonna say that my mom's people, you got me? Yeah, they were grounded really well in the Baptist church. So it was understood that we were going to go to church every Sunday. We were going to go to Bible studies on Wednesday night. We were going to go back to the church on Sundays. When you're a little kid, you're like, ugh. But as I look back on it, it gave me a sense of something bigger than myself, something that sort of helped me ground my own self in some kind of spiritual base, some kind of religious base, so that I just wouldn't be out there just, acting crazy and not having any consciousness around other people or other things that, weren't associated to me, but were attached to me and that I would impact. So I'd have to have some kind of a
I'm so
some kind
sorry. Could
of
you repeat that?
Okay, I don't even know what
I'm so sorry. I don't know
the
what's going on. You said ground. I'm trying to see. It might be my. I don't know. I'm fine. I don't know if I should like move or restart this. So you were talking about being grounded in something bigger than yourself.
Yeah, I was saying that my mom's people were big participants in their Baptist church. So they would, at the time, we considered it dragging us around to all of these church meetings and church services. But as I look back at it, it was a good thing because it helped me understand that the world was bigger than just me, that there was something spiritual out there that sort of helped guide you along your path in this life. And I took that in later on in life, and it helped me sort of, just sort of be able to weather the storm in situations where I maybe couldn't have, because I had something to lean on. Now my dad's side, what I learned from them is really how to be an entrepreneur and make it work for yourself. Because they had stores and businesses the whole time I was growing up, so I got to see that. And I got to see that, that black folks can do other things besides work in the factory. They can have their own businesses. They can direct their own, point their own direction and make things happen for themselves. So, but if I hadn't have gone down those summers, I would have never seen that. I would have never been exposed to it. I would have never had the opportunity to talk to my grandmother about how she even started the business, why it was important to her. So those were good lessons to learn along the way.
And so you moved and you did this every summer until you went to college. Like what?
No, till I was about 14, 13 or
Okay.
14. Soon as I could get a work permit, I went to work. Because asking my dad Moses for money, not
Didn't
when you
go
can
over
earn
too
it
well.
yourself.
Yeah.
Not when you can earn it yourself. So, my brother and I, he got his work permit a year before me, and he started working, doing some stuff. My first job, actually, I got a job before I got my work permit. One of the guys in the neighborhood came to me, a guy named James Lawson. We must have been 12. Mr. Jackson, I'm making this name up, owned a car wash about 3 blocks away. So he said, Rock, Mr. Jackson said we could work for him. We can? Let me ask my mom. His mom said, hey, go down there. Mr. Jackson worked a mess out of us. We were simonizing cars, waxing cars, washing cars. At the end of the week, we got like 20 bucks or something. But when you're 12, 20 bucks is a lot of money.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's gonna get you a lot.
That's a lot of money. But then, when I got my work permit, we started working for it was a program run through the city. Summer youth employment program. So my first job, I worked at a playground as like a playground monitor. So my responsibility was to get there like at 10:30 because the playground opened at 11 till like 3 or something like that. And they used to have this box that they would lock down, and inside the box had all the playground equipment: bats, balls, basketballs, everything you would need to, have some recreational activities in the playground. So it was my job to monitor the playground, make sure I got all the equipment back at the end of the day, lock it up, and be ready for the next day. So I did that 14, 15, 2 years, 16, maybe almost for 3 years. I worked for the Summer Youth Employment Program until I went away to college. And then when I came back from college, I worked with the city again. And this time I was the playground supervisor. So I had like five playgrounds under my supervision.
Promotion.
Hey.
Let's
But now I'm a
go.
freshman in college, home for the summer. So I did the playground job. Really crazy. And you got to do this when you're young. So I worked at a playground from 11 to 3. I would go home, take a nap, because I picked up another job. A friend of mine worked at this bakery at night baking rolls. So we would go in at 11 till 7 in the morning. I realized that is not the shift for me. So all summer, I worked from 11 to 3, would go home, eat, try to take a nap, and then get up and be at work at 11 o'clock p.m. till 7 in the morning, go home, try to get something to eat, go to sleep, and go right back to working at 11 a.m. for the playground job. Had plenty of money in my pocket when I went back to school, but I was tired as I don't know what.
Yeah. Oh my God. That is definitely not what people think of when they think of summer vacation.
New. So it was either get the money or, go back to school with a little less than I need and I wanted.
Yeah. And so you have just one older brother?
I have one older brother. I have a younger brother. My older brother's a year older than me. And I have a younger brother that's 3 years younger. But I have two older sisters from my father's first marriage. I have a sister that's
Okay.
three years older and a sister that's 4 years older. But you know what the other good thing about that, going back for the summers, is I got to hang out with my sisters because my grandmother, my father's mother, raised them. She raised them.
You're
So when we would come back for the summers, I'd get to hang out with them. And then some summers, they would come to New Jersey and hang out with us. But if that hadn't happened, I wouldn't have had that relationship with them that I still have to this day.
Yeah. Could you, and you might have nothing to really say, but like, could you kind of talk about your family dynamics, especially like amongst your siblings? Like, I'm one of five, and I know that there's like three of us in the middle, and like, we refer to ourselves as the OGs, even though we're definitely not, just because we like kind of experienced the most like moving around with my dad's work and like all this type of stuff. Anyways, the older sister is older, so like, yeah, could you kind of talk about that?
Well, growing up, I always knew that I had two sisters. It wasn't like anybody tried to hide that fact. So growing up, I always knew I had two sisters. I always knew that my dad had been married before he married my mom. I always knew that my grandmother, his mom, my dad's mom, was the caregiver for my sisters. But this is the interesting thing. When we would go back to Virginia and hang out, we would stay at my dad's mom's house, my grandmother's house, where my sisters lived. So we were always together when we would come over there. And then the other thing was, and I found this kind of really cool, and I don't know if this happens a lot, but we would go over to my sister's mom's house, her husband, and all of her sisters and brothers, and spend 2 or 3 days over there hanging out with them, because she had three brothers over there, and all of the boys would get together, my two brothers and her brothers, and we go play baseball, hang out, do all kinds of sport things. So I thought it was really cool that it was accepted like that, and that we could go over to their mom's house, Miss Norma, that's what we called her, Miss Norma, and hang out for a few days, and wasn't a thing, and go back to my grandma's house, and vice versa. And later on in life, her brothers and sisters wound up spending time with us. They would come to New Jersey, and as they were, and then when they were in New Jersey, they come to our house and hang out, and if they were visiting, that kind of thing. And later on in life, I wound up running into one of her brothers in San Francisco when I lived out there, and he and I hung out. So it was really a good dynamic. Could have been kind of crazy and, not good, but fortunately, we had adults who my sister's mom and my dad and my mom who said, no, it's more important for everybody to know where they come from, and that we all just sort of make it happen.
Do you know if there was any, because it sounds like your family for the most part stayed in Virginia, other than the one aunt, was it you mentioned that went to New York?
My Aunt Helen went to New York on my dad's side. She was the cool aunt. She was cool as I don't know what. We used to love to go over to Aunt Helen's house because she lived in the Bronx, like 3 blocks from Yankee Stadium. So she would take us to the games. We could sit out in front of the block. She had all kind of people that lived in that neighborhood, Puerto Ricans, Jews, I mean, all kinds of people. So we got to, hang out with the kids that were on that block. So we used to love to go over to New York to hang out with Aunt Helen. But I had an uncle on my mom's side that moved to New Jersey before we did. And he was the uncle when we moved to New Jersey that we stayed with until we got our own place. So I had my uncle in New Jersey, I had Aunt Helen in New York, And those were pretty, and I had one of my mom's uncles on her mother's brother lived in upstate New York somewhere, and I knew Rochelle or something like that. So I think we went to see him maybe once or twice, Uncle Bill, maybe once or twice, but didn't have a lot of connects with him. So Aunt Helen and my uncle in Jersey were the ones, Uncle Luther in Jersey.
And what was their motivation to move similar to your family's? It was kind of just a part
Yeah,
of the
economics.
migration, yeah, that was happening.
Yeah, get out of the South. Economics, all the crazy racial stuff, you know, all that stuff going on. They're like, nah, we're going north.
You know if your family back in Virginia, like, I also don't want to overstep, you're also allowed to tell
No,
me
no,
if you
no.
want things, but like, do you know if it was any point of contention at all? Like, them moving away, like separating the family geographically like that, or
I don't think so. Never heard anybody said, you know, that grandma was upset because uncle went to New York, you know, that kind of thing. Not at all. Didn't hear anything like that. Might have heard that, you know, they don't come home as often. You know, come back to Virginia as often. But no, nothing contentious about or ill feelings about people moving away from the family.
And so you said you lived with your uncle when you first moved. How long? And so at that point it was just you and your older brother then, right?
Yeah, it was just me and my older brother because my youngest brother was born in Jersey. And I don't remember a whole lot about that because I was like three or four. And but I do remember my earliest recollections is when my youngest brother was born and he was having his first birthday because there's pictures from that. And I can remember we had moved by then and we lived off of Hamilton Avenue, right by the train trestle. And I remember the reason I remember that because the train would go by at night and shake our apartment, shake our apartment. But I must have been four when I realized that, you know, we had our own place. We lived in New Jersey. I was about to go to kindergarten. My brother was already in kindergarten. My little brother had just turned one, and we were having a birthday party for him. I remember these hats we had on. So there's a picture of that that helps, you know, keep my memory so kind of sharp around that.
And so this apartment that you're speaking of right now, kind of like in your early recollections, moved from that apartment into a like what was the living
Yeah,
situation?
this was a bottom apartment. Like you walked off of the sidewalk, walking down the sidewalk, you went down to get to our apartment. So it was like a basement apartment. And I want to say it was maybe, can't remember correctly, because my brother and I used to sleep on these pull-out little beds. So it might have been like two bedrooms in that apartment. You know, we were there, and there was five of us. Then we moved from there to 47 Carroll Street. Don't ask me why, how I remember these addresses.
Wait,
47
could you
Carroll Street, we
tell me
lived
the
on
first address as well? Because it just cut, it's been
a,
cut
no, I just
out.
remember it was on Hamilton Avenue. I
Oh,
can't remember the exact address.
okay,
And then we
cool.
moved to, like I said, 47 Carroll Street. That was pretty cool. We lived on the third floor of a three-story apartment building walk-up. And there were probably like four apartments on each floor. But there were a ton of kids on that block, ton of kids all over that block. And it was a playground about three blocks down the street. The school I went to, school 10, was probably, I don't know, eight blocks away. So that was a whole different vibe. And I think we lived there till maybe, I don't know, 10, 11. And we moved from 47 Carroll Street. But this is the thing. So while we were at Hamilton Avenue and 47 Carroll Street, my mom decided to go back to college. She had done maybe 1 year. My dad, they were both at Norfolk State together, and they both did maybe 1 year and they got married and moved to Jersey. So when she came to Jersey, my dad worked in a sheet metal factory, and my mom was a domestic. She cleaned people's houses. And I want to say, when we moved to Carroll Street, she was going to college. And I remember when she graduated. She graduated, my grandmother came, a bunch of people came, and about And she got a job at with the Board of Education teaching high school. Our whole life changed. Because now, and I look back at it, changed our economic status. You know, you're a kid, you don't realize that. What I realized is that all of a sudden, we bought a new car, a little Pontiac Tempest. All the other cars we had, like my dad, I swear he bought those cars for like $25. I swear. And I don't know how those cars work. Because one time we had a car, and this is the honest to God truth. The floor in the back had rusted through, and you could see the road. So he had a
Sounds like
floor mat
something out of a
over
movie.
top of the hole in the floor. I swear to goodness.
That's crazy. Do you remember the type of cars? Like what kind they
I don't know. It was some big Buick. I don't know. That thing was huge. A Lincoln,
were?
I don't know what it was. And that's when we were on 47 Carroll Street. And we moved to the Fifth Ave projects. But this is the thing about the Fifth Ave projects. It was the white people's projects. So it was like the uptown projects. We had a little piece of grass in front of our house. You know, we had our own little unit, a little backyard. I'm like, whoa, this is
The
different. This is different. You
piece
know, we sure did. But that shows you the power of education. You know, once you
Yeah.
got our degree, got that job, working in the school system, everything changed for us. You know, we moved off of Carroll Street. We bought a new car. We moved into the white people's projects. You know, we just went elevated up a couple of levels.
Yeah.
And that's when, and they had a ton of kids in that whole development. So a lot of those youngsters that I met there, we were in elementary school together. We wound up going to high school together. We wound up playing sports together. One guy in particular, Johnny Mate. John's dad was a music teacher. Taught my brother how to play trombone. And Johnny Make and his brother Desi, we were all on a baseball team together. And then later, as we got into high school, John was in a band with me. Johnny Make was in a band with me all through high school. And we're still friends to this day from living in the Fifth Ave projects.
Could you spell his name by chance?
Maik, John Make. He's down in, I think he's in St. Petersburg, Florida, somewhere.
Oh.
Just sent me a card a couple of weeks ago when he heard that my dad passed. And my dad was the manager of the band. He was the one that loaded all the stuff in his car, took us around, make sure nobody took advantage of us. So, you know, that was pretty cool that he sent that letter.
Sorry about that, but that's a really sweet memory. So what did I want to come back to the band, especially the
Okay.
band, but I'm gonna clarify a few things first. So your mother went back to school and then was an educator. Do you know, I'm sorry if you already mentioned this, but where did she teach exactly?
She taught at my high school, Eastside High School, Paterson, New Jersey. You ever heard that movie Lean on Me with Morgan
Yes.
Freeman?
Yes.
That's the high school I went to.
Oh,
I went there
really?
before. Yeah, but I went there before Crazy Joe showed up. So, yeah.
Bingo.
And my mother taught at that high school. So I was
Bingo.
at high school when she was there.
Oh, what
Didn't
was
bother
that
me any.
pandemic like?
I thought it was pretty cool. I didn't have to take her class. Actually, I was in one of her classes. I was in one of her classes, and she transferred me out of her class.
What class?
It was a biology class. She taught
Oh.
biology, chemistry, all the sciences, general sciences. She taught all that. And my friends would be like, "Hey man, I have your mother for biology." I'd be like, just do your work because she will smile at you and then call your mother and tell them that you are failing her class."
God, that's funny. What did your father do?
My father worked, he started off at a sheet metal factory, cutting sheet metal. And installing sheet metal units in houses as part of the HVAC system. And then when we moved to Fifth Ave Projects, he got another job in Fairlawn, New Jersey, right across the river, with a Swedish steel company called Sandvik. And over time, he became the manager of their mail room. So all the correspondence and mail that came in, he was the one responsible for sorting it, making sure it got to the right person, sending stuff back that didn't, didn't belong there. And he was so good at it to the point that the president of the company came in and gave him a citation. Yeah, flew in from Sweden to give him a citation.
Wow.
And he retired from there.
Oh, wow. Hard worker. And do you know what school your mother went to? Was she doing it online, in person?
Oh, no, online. There was no such thing.
There was just the conference, right?
Online. You gotta go way back in. This is the 60s.
Right, you're right. That's
No
my
cell
bad.
phones, no internet, nah, no fax machine, none of that stuff. So she actually went to class at William Patterson College. And I think it's in Tullowa, New Jersey, Wayne, New Jersey, but it's William Patterson College. And my dad worked two jobs to put her through. There was a couple of years we hardly ever saw Pop because he was working two jobs. He'd come home from one, take a quick break, get something to eat, and go right back to the next one. And he put her through school. He did that for like 2, 2.5 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then I'm guessing she was really busy with school, so there was kind of a period you didn't see them much.
Well, mom was still doing stuff with us, making sure we got out the house, ironed up, our clothes were ironed, and we went to church, and all the other stuff just added on to what you're already doing.
Yeah.
So she wasn't working at the time. That was the thing I didn't realize. She wasn't working because she was a full-time student. So that's why Pop had to pick up, two jobs. And I'm sure that was a conversation they had to have amongst themselves, as to how that was going to work. We're little kids, we don't. We're oblivious. We don't know. We're going to go outside and play. But when you look back at it and you have some perspective on it and you have a chance, older, you talk to your parents, you're like, whoa, that was a heck of a move.
Yeah.
That was a sacrifice.
Yeah. And so what, okay, so I guess a question along this lines I have is like the activities you kind of did. So you've mentioned band. I know you played football. Is there a way you can sort of walk me through your like origin stories with all of those?
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. Both of my parents were involved with us being in the Cub Scouts and the Boy Scouts. So they were Cub Scout leaders. My dad was a Boy Scout leader. We wound up playing a lot of baseball. He was a great coach. He taught us how to play. So when we went to try out for teams, my brother and I, we were always ahead of the other kids because my dad had been teaching us how to play since I can remember. So I played a lot of baseball growing up from the time I was 9 all the way through just about through high school. Didn't really start with any music stuff till I got to high school. Wasn't in a band, was in a choir, youth choir at church. And my talent for singing actually was manifest really early. I remember when I was in kindergarten. And one of the two, we had music class, and one of the teachers pulled me aside and said, "You have a talented voice. Take this note home." I'm thinking she's giving me a note that's going to get me in trouble. I'm like, "No, I don't want to take a note home." But I gave it to my mom and them, and I didn't know what the note said. Obviously, it was something around this kid has talent. You might want to pursue that. Blah blah blah. But we got 5 kids. There's no piano in the house. Not going to pay for music lessons. Thank you, but we'll figure it out as we go. So if it wasn't a something that the school sponsored, where you can get a free instrument or that kind of stuff, it wasn't going to happen. We just didn't have the resources, to develop that part of me. So we just keep going. And then when we got to high school, I was in my freshman year, I was in Boys Glee Club. And Boys Glee Club, there was a guy in there named Robert Finney. Robert Finney and I went to, we were in kindergarten together. And the first time we reconnected was when we were in the 9th grade. But we still remembered each other. And I'm going to tell you why I remember this guy. Because we were in kindergarten, he had ringworm. And one day we were in kindergarten in the coat room putting out our stuff. And I grabbed his hat and put it on my head. The teacher went ballistic. No, don't put his hat on that ringworm. Too late. Sure enough, I got it and my brother got it. So we're walking around with these pocket caps on our
Oh
head, looking crazy. So I
my
never forgot, and to this day, I give Bobby grief about
That's
that.
hilarious.
But we've been boys play together, and there was a talent show. So we're gonna put us a little group singing group together, and you know, we're gonna be the Temptations or something. So the music teacher, Mr. Peretti, I remember his name. Mr. Peretti said, "Okay, let's do a little group. We got like five guys who could sort of keep a note." And we went into this talent show in the ninth grade, and we wound up winning the thing, right? So after that, when we got to be sophomores, now freshman year, for some reason, the school, Board of Education in Patterson decided that they were going to take one of the old high schools offline and send all of the ninth graders to this high school downtown. Every ninth grader was at this high school downtown. Well, they took it offline, wasn't high school anymore. That was a horrible idea, because now you got a bunch of ninth graders, a school full of just ninth graders who know nothing, who are running around like ninth graders. They only did that one year. So I don't know why they did that. But then when we went to the big school, our sophomore year, we hooked up with a couple other guys. And we had a great music teacher named Bill Butler. This guy was great. He taught us really how to interpret music, how to appreciate music, and how to sing. So we had concert choir, boys' glee. I was in every music course he ever had. And the guys that were in the singing group that we developed, that we formed, all of us was in that music group with music class with Mr. Butler. So we started out in high school, sophomore and junior year, with this band, with this group called the Fantastic Gems, GEMS, like stones, right? We were the Fantastic Gems. We won all the talent shows. We had a little band. We would go around doing these little snippets of shows and stuff. We had little gold shirts with white gloves. You know, we thought we were the Temptations, for real, for real enough. And we were pretty good. We got to go to the Apollo. We sang at the Apollo. We came in second. And you know who beat us? Stephanie Mills. I don't know if you know who that is. If you look her up, she is a world-renowned R&B singer, Stephanie Mills. I think she was the one who played Dorothy in the black version of Wizard of Oz that was on Broadway. But she
That's
beat us out.
so
We came in second. Yeah. So my dad was the manager. We would do these shows for the different clubs. We were the band for the night. So it was really cool. I learned about the music business from the time I was like 15, all the way through, actually through college, because we had a band in college up here. You know, I didn't expect that it would continue, but guys came looking for me, knocking on my dorm room. "You Rocky Whitaker? Yeah, I heard you could sing. Okay, let's start a group." "Bro, I got classes. You know, I got studying. I'm not the brightest guy up here." Needless to say, you know, there's nothing to do and nowhere to go, so you have time. So we so we had a little band up here in Hanover called the Green Dream. The Green Dream probably had about 90 guys in the band. I'm exaggerating, but it was a ton of us. And it spurred from a music course that we had at Dartmouth. Music 7. It was called Music 7. We called it Pots and Pans. Music 7, I took that course twice. Music 7 was run by a guy named Robert Northern, who was a classically trained French